Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience. Oh, fuck.
You can't say fuck on podcasts. It's not acceptable. This is going to be fucking great.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our pile of dead seagulls. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop.
I was letting the men do this one since this is all about you guys.
Ooh. Wait, can we do it more barbarically then?
This time pop. I'm going to pop your time in the face.
Yeah.
Is that what men sound like?
Yeah, when women aren't around, we just talk like monster truck rally commercials.
Desmond, give me a hot dog.
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
We watch time travel movies.
This one is kind of, I was going to say manly, but there's nothing manly about horror movies. That was me being a bad boy.
Horror is a pretty loose term for this film.
It very. We watched Triangle from 2009. Rated R.
For
raunchy
violence.
1 hour and 39 minutes. Five friends set sail and their yacht is overturned by a strange and sudden storm. A mysterious ship arrives to rescue them. And what happens next cannot be explained. Well, we're done.
Oh, you're done. Thank you. Good night.
We can't explain it. So I guess we're just done. There's no explanation.
No, we can try to explain it.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
We can try to explain it. Before we do any talking at all, I know you're a talker, Scott. We'll just leave it at that. So I'm curious. So Ari might already know a little more.
She knows nothing.
She knows nothing.
About the movie?
Yes.
I know that I could have seen it because it wasn't actually that scary. So to all our listeners out there, I opted out of watching this movie this time, Triangles, because I don't like scary movies. I don't need that stress. So I was like, you guys watch it and then explain it to me and I'll ask questions. We'll see how it goes.
How's it going, Scott?
I didn't say anything. So the trailer for this very much shows it as a horror film. If you watch Butterfly Effect trailers, they do that too. And I guess they were just going for a niche audience. It is no more a horror film than Time Crimes, especially, or maybe even Infinite Man. But I mean, I say it's similar to that overall. And it's like plot line. Time Crimes, there is murder. And there's like trying to correct the timeline. And that, but that's it. It's not.
Oh, are you talking about Los Cronocrímenes?
Sí.
I was just curious if that might have been labeled as horror too, trying to look it up here.
I mean, a lot of time travel has murder, you know. Terminator, I guess it's not an example, but Butterfly Effect, they seem to label that horror, and it's not really, but it tries to go dark anyway.
Yeah,
she would have been fine to see this. It's not jump out at you scary. There's a wee bit of murder in it.
Yes,
but are people even really being murdered?
Yeah, there's zero. I don't think there's zero jump scares in this movie.
Zero jump scares.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I guess just, I would have been fine.
Yeah.
There's murders happening and you go, wait, what's going on? And you go, oh, that's what happened there. Oh, that's what happened. Oh, that was her. And that was, she was me. And that, but you.
Sounds like you guys might have not liked this movie.
No.
I loved this movie.
Oh, good.
It's not the best version of what they did, but they went for it.
Yeah. I don't feel like I loved it, but I respect it. I think I really put it with Time Crimes and Infinite Man. There's some layers. It's one of those things where there's like a loop happening. And at first you're like, what does that mean? And then second time around, you're like, oh, that's when that happens. And the third time around, and you got to keep a diagram in your head to keep track. So that has me give it a healthy respect. I don't think as a film, it's, you know, going to change the world. It's not, I keep saying that it's not Interstellar. That seems to be. I forgot we're supposed to come with our lists. I did not do my list. Did you do yours?
Oh, shit. I knew there was.
Okay, it's okay. 3 out of 3 did not do their top 10.
I made a list.
You did?
I made a list of my top 12.
Oh.
And I'm going to narrow it down to my top 10.
I mean, we could all do a top 12. I'm fine with that. I'll take some more.
That's amazing.
It's just me saying, I keep bringing up, it's not Interstellar. So whatever. It was good. I'm not. It's the same with me. I don't know. I even like Time Crimes a little bit better, I think. But those three movies sit the same for me as Infinite Man, Time Crimes, and this. Like, well thought out. The loopholes aren't there in terms of their plots and the different layers of time loops.
I think I like this one. I think I liked it better than Time Crimes. This is in between Infinite Man and Time Crimes.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Infinite Man is just a really good movie.
Between you and me, before we get into the plot, do you have your own theory about the end or the context of what's happening throughout the whole film? Or have you done any research? Or do you...
Not much. I did...
Do you have your own theory of what's really going on?
No.
Okay, cool. We'll talk it up.
I don't. Yeah.
So would you say that this is, like, if you were to say a kind of time travel movie, this is a looping, repeat type of time travel? Okay.
It's a complex loop.
Yeah.
I've read... In fact, I'm going to go back. This is Barry, always a fine example, has a pretty good plot line explanation where, you know, as we discuss the plot today, I don't think we're going to get into the nuances, right? Because when he breaks it down, he's like, hey, I'm going to number it like, you know, Jess 1, Victor 1. And then he goes through like four layers. Like, this is what Jess 1 is doing. This is what Jess 2 is doing. This is what 3, this is what 4 is doing. And this is one where the loops repeat, but different things happen on the even loops and different things happen on the odd loops, but it all comes together still for the full loop.
Oh.
I don't think we're going to get into the nuances of that.
Do you want to see something sexy? Oh, go ahead. You go ahead and talk, Ariel.
So the story is repeating itself. That's what you mean by the loop. What they go through something and then they go back and do it again.
We should start doing our explain.
Well, but then there's loops within loops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, look at this sexy thing.
Oh my God. All right, so what Desmond is currently showing us in the screen, there's a triangle diagram that literally has a time travel, a diagram of the time loops in a triangle formation around the boat. That's amazing.
I haven't looked at this super closely, but I think it's...
Wow.
Because, yeah, you see...
Oh my God. All right. So not only is he showing me the diagram of the loop, but it has like in the upper corner questions of like what caused Jesse's memory loss. And you can actually find number 6 and then find on the loop where that happened. And I would like that question answered, actually.
What was the question again?
What caused Jesse's memory loss?
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
We'll get into that. That was one of those things too, where, yeah, this is one of those movies that I loved, loved, loved. Until I did just a little bit of research. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, they kind of fucked that up. Oh,
okay. Let's get into it. Let's try to do this in a streamlined fashion. So this is a new format for us. Ari has not seen the film, so she can listen. She can ask questions.
Oh, I'm definitely going to ask questions.
So it starts off with a mother comforting a child. And then she
seems to be on the spectrum. I mean, he is. He's autistic.
Were they on a boat?
No.
You just know they're in a room at the beginning.
They're not on a boat. She gets ding-dong ditched.
Yeah, doorbell rings. She goes out to answer it. Nothing's there. Ooh, is that going to mean something later?
But yeah, it happens like, it's weird rewatching the beginning of it. I rewatched the beginning before we started the podcast, and it's very interesting. There's definitely more. This movie did a really good job of not whitewashing stuff out the first time you see it to make it work. Like, it's all there the first time you watch it. You just don't know what you're looking for.
Do you want to do the directed by, all that stuff?
Oh, I did. Oh, sorry. Yeah, let me stop this.
Did you?
Well, I did the main stuff. I didn't get to the director's stuff. Directed by Christopher Smith, not the Chris Smith I grew up next door to, a different Christopher Smith. Oh, no. Okay. Melissa George. Yeah, I'm just going to name everybody because it's one of those movies that has nine people in it. Melissa George, Joshua McIver, Jack Taylor, Michael Dorman, Henry Nixon, Rachel Carpani, Emma Lung, Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, we got a Hemsworth.
And Brian Probetz as Driver.
Killed it.
We got Driver. So yes, this movie is, I'm going to just say these names out loud once because I did a good job in my notes of mentioning who's who. So Jess is our main person. She's the one with the kid that's comforting. Then we have Greg, the captain of the ship.
Who kind of has a thing for her.
Sally and Downey are married. Heather, they're trying to set up with the captain. Then there's Victor, the cabin boy.
That's the captain's young 18-year-old, right-hand guy for taking the boat out. This takes place in Florida, by the way. It's relevant, right?
Is it?
Well, for Bermuda Triangle type stuff, probably.
Oh.
You're welcome.
That's right. And Jack, we just see for a minute. Jack and Driver are barely in it. But Jess, Tommy, Greg, Downey, Sally, Heather, and Victor all get on the boat.
Yeah. Budget of $12 million in the box office. It made $1.3 to $1.6 million. So bit of a loss in the box office.
Oh, boo.
It happens. Okay, so what we do know in the beginning is she's dealing with her autistic son. He's frustrating. We do know, and it's relevant, that she comes around. He drops some stuff on the floor that she has to clean up, right? She finds that frustrating. Did he break something else?
No, he's just kind of freaking out over what doesn't seem to be much at the beginning, like some spilled paint. And she says something. What does she say at the beginning? Like,
oh, it's a bad dream.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think that he's waking up from something. So there's just a lot going on. So you know that she's a single mom. She's really frustrated. She's got a lot on her plate.
Right.
And then
we cut to the boat next, right? I think it's you're seeing a bit the captain, you're seeing the cup, his friends were a couple and they're trying to fix him up. You're seeing his boat hand, and then you see her, Jess, the main female protagonist, walking, and she's like a little bit dazed, right? She's a little weirded out. Her son's not there. And they're like, where's your son? And she's like, oh, he's at school.
And it's Saturday. But Greg tells Victor he's a special needs kid. You know, she can get care for him. You know, it's not your normal Monday through Friday school. So that just kind of goes away. She's a little bit out of it. She just seems tired. So as soon as they start sailing, she goes down for a nap.
Yeah.
And sleeps for a good, it's what seems to be like 4 hours or something.
Yeah, and there's some minor little plots with the person trying to fix them up with, nothing really important, but they get a distress signal.
First, the wind just dies.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there. They got no...
It's a sailboat?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the wind just dies randomly.
And then a storm, they see a storm starting to come, and then that's when they try to make a distress call.
They get a distress call. It's from a female that's like asking for help.
Are they
first they make one. They make one to the Coast Guard to say, hey, there's a really nasty storm coming. What do you guys know? But then in the middle of that call, then yes, a woman kind of hijacks their frequency and says they're all gonna die, they're all dead.
You can't hear her too well, but she's asking for help and then something about someone being dead and But you can't hear too clearly.
Are they purposefully driving in the Bermuda Triangle? I mean, sailing in the Bermuda Triangle?
No. What was the point of their journey? Were they supposed to go to like an island or something?
I think they're just on a booze cruise. I mean, they're not drinking, but like, I think they're just sailing.
They didn't really say that. They're just like, oh, you're going to love it. Like, it's going to be great. Like, yeah, their intention was not to get caught in this.
Yes. Yeah.
But they are in the Bermuda Triangle?
Well,
I think we're supposed to assume that because of the title of the film. But
yeah. Yeah, and they're definitely in that area. If you're sailing off the tip of Florida for 4 hours, you're in the danger zone.
Right. Anyway, a storm comes along and it's pretty gnarly, and it gets the water in the middle, a lot of drama, and the boat gets capsized and turns over. So very gnarly, you know, battle with the wind. The boat gets turned over.
Heather's gone.
Yeah, they come to, they just check in with everybody, like the boat's upside down, they're getting on there, and they realize that the woman that the couple was trying to fix up with the captain is no longer there. Sadness for that.
Yes.
But they see an ocean liner when things look hopeless.
So the storm passes.
Yeah.
They're in the calm water again, sitting on top of a capsized boat. And then the Aeolus arrives. What do you know about the Aeolus, Scott?
Should I say what I know or what we find out?
Oh, I'm going to tell you all about it here. Aeolus is the Greek god king of the wind, divine keeper of the winds, and king of the mythical floating island of Aeolia. He kept the violent storm winds locked safely away inside the cavernous interior of his isles, releasing them only at the command of greatest gods to wreak devastation upon the world.
Should we get into Aeolus's son, or would we save that in the plot?
It's a person named Aeolus?
It's a Greek god. No, the boat is called Aeolus.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Traditionally, you're going to find this out in the plot. Aeolus's son in Greek mythology is Sisyphus, who apparently cheated death and as a punishment had to keep climbing up a hill where a rock would fall down on him. You would fall down. You have to climb up again. The rock would fall down on him again, I think, for eternity.
Oh,
this is the part where Desmond understands what the movie's about.
Because I even read that and I read it while I was watching it yesterday. So not everything had sunk in yet.
Really? Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's a pretty major plot point.
That is the plot.
Yeah, that is the plot. He breaks a promise he makes to death. As a result, he is compelled to roll an immense boulder up a hill to watch it roll back down and repeat this action forever.
And that comes into the story?
Yeah, they actually, when they find out the name of the boat, there is something about Sisyphus, and they even say that in the movie.
Yeah, they're walking around, and they see somebody.
Well, let's get to, so the boat comes, right? They see someone from a distance on the boat.
And then that person's gone by the time they get there. They're walking on the boat, and they're just walking around, trying to get someone's attention, walking through the cabins.
They can't find anybody on the boat. Jess, still dazed, but she's like, I have been here before. She got dazed. We're like, no, you haven't been here. It's probably the woman who died. Maybe she's here. And she keeps thinking she's been there. They actually find her keys on the boat, which is a little bit weird.
The new boat.
This new boat, yeah.
So they're all reading this plaque that says the boat originally sailed in 1932. So they're kind of weirded out by that a little bit. And then that's when the Sisyphus thing comes up. And then they hear keys clank down the hall. And a couple of people run down the hall to check and see what that noise was. And that's when they see Jess's keys. Does she show her keys at that point too and say, no, these are...
I don't think so. She just said, those are my keys. I can't be. And she's like, they are. And then they say, oh, it must have been the woman we thought died. Maybe she's here. They're all wandering around the boat. They can't find anybody. And then that's when weird things start happening. She spots someone. Jess spots someone watching them and kind of chases around. They split into groups.
Before they split up, they're all in the ballroom. There's a full meal there. There's a fresh cooked ham sitting there. And everybody's, or not everybody, but the watches we see.
Oh, yeah.
Someone says, what time is it? And he says 11:30. And everyone goes, okay. But Jess's watch and the clock on the boat both say 8:20.
And they're both frozen.
They're both frozen.
What's frozen? The clocks
are frozen. Both of their clocks are stuck on that time.
On 8:20.
Yeah.
Which I don't think 8:20 has anything to do with it, but Jess in the boat.
I think it's significant.
The actual time, or
I even think the time is significant. I'll get into that later.
Woo! And Jess is the mother of the autistic kid.
Yes.
Yes.
She's the protagonist, sort of.
So Victor runs. Yeah, they start splitting. Victor runs after someone. Greg and Jess run off in another direction, and then Sally and Downey.
They stay. They hung out.
They wandered up. Well, the next time we see them, well, this will change. But the next time we see them, they're following a blood trail.
Right.
And then Jess circles back around to the ballroom.
Well, they find her and Greg find the Go-To Theater written in blood on the mirror. They're looking in a bathroom. They see Go-To Theater written in blood.
Yeah, that's right.
So a few weird things happening. She gets in a fight with Greg a little bit. They split up because he's like mansplaining. She's like, I've been here before. He's like, no.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then she ends up, the second weird part is Victor is covered in blood, tries to kill her. And he's like, why'd you try to kill me? And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, bro. He's going after her, covered in blood, trying to kill her. So that's weird.
And then we hear a gunshot in the distance.
Yep.
And so that kind of breaks up their fight.
She goes to the theater and Greg, who is the captain, is when she is covered in blood and dying. And they're all saying, they're like, Jess, why'd you shoot him?
Yeah, he said you shot him.
Right. There's like a masked shooter up in the second balcony level who's shooting at them. The masked shooter chases Jess. She like is able to disarm the shooter. And then the shooter is wearing a mask. They're kind of muffled, but they're saying something like, you have to kill them. It's the only way.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I don't think so. Oh, no, you're right. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then falls overboard.
Baghead falls overboard.
Baghead, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God, we're already there?
We're trying. It's a lot. I'm trying to go through this quickly.
Well, no, because even my notes are there, too. Like, I forget how quick that first loop is.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's outside the boat, like outside on the main deck, whatever the boat, that the body fell over. And then she hears yelling and stuff. And as she looks over the boat, what does she see but herself and the group just arriving at the boat?
Just for fun, I don't think this matters, but they make it just before that she hears some music playing and there's a record skipping in the background and she goes to it. And that comes back a little bit in a minute. That's why I wanted to back to it. But they're playing, it's a record playing Anchors Away, just to add to all the boat stuff.
Sure.
I know that because I watch with subtitles on, but then back to Scott's point, then yeah, she hears people yelling, she goes over to the edge, and then that's when she sees the original boat arriving.
So now we're getting in the loop, and now she's pretty weirded out. She's like, you saw that person on the boat earlier, that was her that they saw.
Yes. And I even rewound it because I didn't remember seeing someone the first time. And I even rewound it just to triple check that she was there, and she was,
right,
which was great. So Jess won.
And we shouldn't get too much into all the specifics, but let's... Yeah.
The Jess that we've been with the whole movie,
yeah,
is she's following him around and then just trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. And while she's high...
Doesn't she drop... She drops her keys near the display case and that's how they find the keys?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's...
Her keys fall out of her pocket.
And then she sees Victor too, the guy covered in blood. Well, the guy who gets covered in blood. And she's trying to explain to him, because Victor had chased her, and she's like, this is crazy. We're going through a loop. And he's like, I'm not going to tell anybody how crazy you are.
So she sees go to theater in the mirror, and then she's kind of sneaking around again in the ballroom. And then when she runs off, that's when the original time Victor, that's what Victor was chasing the first time when he runs off.
Right.
But then Jess sees the seagulls eating the corpse in the water. Who was that?
Oh, was that the one of her that went overboard?
I don't think she...
No, it was what's her name? It was the one that died from the boat capsizing then.
You think that was Heather?
It's one of those two.
Because I thought they said it was Downey at some point. Because at some point, I thought someone else went overboard. Okay, yeah, my best guess was Heather, actually, too.
Yeah, anyway... She runs into Victor. She tries to tell him all the stuff. He's like, look, she's like, this crazy with her time loop. He's like, you're crazy. I don't believe you. And when she's really trying emphatically to hold his shoulders and like, no, I'm serious. She doesn't realize that when she pushed him against the wall, there was a sharp, pointy object that kind of impales him in the back of his head or neck.
Yeah.
Kind of essentially just killed him. And now you can see this started the one that where he chases her later being like, you killed me. Why'd you try to kill me? This was an accident.
Which, yeah, there's even another point in between these two incidents, I think.
Yeah.
That mess it up. So Jess is just freaking out now. She starts hiding from everyone. She's in a locker room and she finds 30 crumpled pieces of paper.
Yeah. And it says you have to, like, something like you have to kill everybody, right?
If they board, kill them all.
Right.
Is what it says.
And she writes, there's all these crumpled papers. She writes her handwriting to write that same message just to compare it. And it looks exactly like all the other crumpled handwritings. You start seeing a lot of examples of like lots of versions of things.
This is when she peeks down a grate and she sees a pile of lockets that look just like her locket.
Yeah.
And then when she's leaning over to look down the grate, her locket goes in between the grates. And when she lifts her head back up, that snaps her locket off,
yeah,
and adds another locket to the pile.
So that's really relevant that kind of keeps happening. She sees a locket she dropped next to like 40 or 50 of the same locket. She sees all these drawings, these writings of a message that there's 40 or 50 of them all in the same handwriting. So you're getting the idea that this loop has happened many, many times. But it's all the things stay. From each loop, it stays the different objects. All the seagulls.
Oh, the seagulls. what's her names? All the Sallys.
There's a note saying to kill them all, right? She takes a shotgun trying to change the pattern, I think, right? But there's the shooter, which is the Jess with the mask, is kind of repeating the loop and killing Greg and Downey.
She grabs, so the Jess we're following, the original Jess we're following, she grabs a gun to go kill Baghead.
Baghead, thank you.
Which I don't think she quite realizes that's her yet.
No, she does not know it's her yet.
Yeah, but she's holding a bag full of shotgun shells that is exactly the bag that Baghead is wearing.
So she chases, anyway, Sally gets shot and Jess chases after her, trying to help out. It was Sally who sent the distress signal. You see Sally go out there and kind of do the whole distress signal they picked up. And then Jess follows her onto the deck. And when she finally kind of collapses, her soon-to-be corpse, there's like 40 or 50 other versions of her corpse there that she's snuggling up with.
That all have Jess's sweater on her as well.
Yeah.
Jess has followed her out here and given her the sweater to try to stop the bleeding and keep her warm.
So then I think, is it this point that she kills the shooter with the mask, Baghead?
Well, she never kills him.
I think she did. There's, and this is where the loop gets different in the even and odd numbers.
No.
I don't want to get too much into it.
She never dies.
Baghead.
No.
Yeah, let me go to the notes here.
Baghead goes overboard and makes it to shore. That's the end of the loop.
But what about, there's the Jess that gets hacked to death and thrown overboard. Remember that? That happens on the evens. The way I'm looking in the notes, it says the odds, where Jess never sees the face of past Jess. Odd Jess always ends up seeing a future Jess face. The past Jess she meets and fights has a mask on. Odd Jess never gets to see the past Jess's face. Also, Odd Jess never gets intercepted by a past Jess and ends up fighting Victor in the dining area and kills him. Odd Jess never gets hacked to death. She falls off the liner. Evens, where Jess sees the face of a past Jess. Even Jess always gets intercepted by herself in the dining area. Even Jess sees the past Jess's face. However, even Jess goes on to get a flesh wound to her head, even when she's trying to shoot. Finally, even Jess always gets hacked to death and thrown overboard. Remember, you see the hacking? Yeah, anyway.
I don't remember that. Why do I not remember?
I'm only getting this from the notes. I saw this 4 days ago, so like it's hard to remember all the things. We're not getting it. We can't get into all the nuances today. People have not seen this, will just be like, what the hell are you guys talking about?
So at some point, Jess...
Anyway, the second Jess kills the shooter Jess. That's what it says, at least in the notes here that I'm reading. It says the overturned boat returns again and Jess realizes the loop restarts once everybody is killed.
Yes.
And that's why all the messages are, you need to kill everybody to get out of this. That's the only time it resets.
Because she realizes that, she always realizes it just a little bit too late to get on the sailboat.
Right.
So once she realizes the boat appears when everyone dies and she missed her boat, now she has to kill them to get the boat back.
Yeah. It says the quickest way here, again, I have the list is Barry, goes into the nuances of four levels of this, but the quicker way in Wikipedia says, desperate to stop the loop, Jess sets everything from the first loop into motion. After she's disarmed during the fight on the front deck, she urges her counterpart to kill everyone. And the second Jess knocks the original overboard. That's like the very quick breakdown of what could be another few rounds of this.
Because at some point, Baghead...
You see that she becomes Baghead.
Removes the bag.
Yeah.
But then, so then she's filling in for an even Jess.
That's what I told you about the even and odds. There's actually different things that happen, but they still feed into everything and keep it looping. What's different about this, though, is that each loop leaves a mark, right? Each loop leaves a corpse. Each loop leaves a locket. So like they're leaving behind. But besides Jess, there's not carbon copies of all the other people. She's the only one that's got carbon copies of. They just die and then a new batch comes in. That's how it resets. So again, we're not getting into the nuances of the next few rounds of this, but at least you start spelling out, you see her writing the message in blood on the mirror to go to the, you see all the parts, you see her putting the bag on her head, you see her becoming the shooter, you see all the things. Because eventually she's trying to kill everybody to stop the loop in motion, even to stop it before it gets on the boat, right? Can we move on to the...
No.
Semi getting out of the loop, or you want to get into the...
I'm looking at this picture here. Where is Jess B? So Jess A kills Jess C. Jess E sees Jess D kill Jess F, and then Jess A kills Jess C again. Where the fuck is B?
It's the even and odds, I told you.
But B should be here somewhere.
Yeah. Anywho, I mean, you should see the film. I hope, otherwise, this will be a very strange podcast to listen to because you're not going to have to follow. We're not even getting into all the bits.
Yeah, but it's really good. Yeah, it keeps going around. So, yeah, so finally the Jess we're following.
Yeah, she knocks the original overboard. I guess that's what she had to kill everyone in the original. She has to kill all the Jesses also. So she knocks the original one overboard. And then all of a sudden she awakens on a shore and it's the same morning. So we seem to have broken the loop, right? She's
yes.
Now waking up on a shore.
At 8:20 in the morning, probably.
Right. She returns home. She's outside the house. She's kind of spying on herself. She returns home. The original version of herself is in the house with the son.
And being very mean.
And now what we're seeing is in the original, it didn't show some parts to fill in the scene in the beginning where she was being abusive. She hits her son at one point because she's frustrated with him.
Yeah.
And she actually does something to cause him to drop the liquid that she has to clean up. The beginning was kind of like,
the one that's spying on him, the Jess that just woke up on shore.
Right.
That's the one that Tommy sees. And that's what scares him into knocking over the paint.
Right. Thank you. Yeah.
Is that he sees a second mommy in the window.
Also, because the other mommy's being abusive, the one that's now made it through the boat rings the doorbell and then runs away to distract her. So now we see how the ring and dash happened.
Ding dong ditch.
Ding dong ditch. And she goes into the house and decides to murder the version of her that is being mean and abusing him.
Because she has learned her lesson about what matters.
Right. And then, unfortunately, Tommy walks in on her killing herself, and she tries to get him around and distract him and say, this was just a bad dream. I'm here to protect you. So now we see kind of where this began, right?
Yes.
Now she's going to change the loop. She brings him. I think she knows it's the same morning. I thought she was headed to the boat, but she's bringing Tommy with her son.
Yes. With her dead body in the trunk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She has her own dead body in the trunk. Thank you.
So she's got her body in a duffel bag in the trunk.
But then something strange happens.
A seagull smacks into the wind. And all through the whole movie, she keeps seeing seagulls and she just keeps kind of staring at them. And there's seagulls that are always kind of watching them. So a seagull slams into her window, makes it all bloody. So now Tommy's freaking out because of that, because of the blood.
Also, that's kind of an omen of the dead seagull. That's kind of a...
Yeah.
When the seagull, she goes to throw it over the edge and she sees that there, that same edge is a pile of other dead seagulls. So all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, I'm still in the loop.
Yes.
Which is pretty freaky. She hops back in the car and she keeps driving and then she gets into a car accident, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm fast forwarding that point just because I just want to...
So she gets crashed into... She crashes into a truck, I think.
Yeah, because Tommy's still crying because there's still blood on the window.
And I don't know if you picked this up. So then you see that there's a crash scene. Tommy is dead. The son is dead. And the woman appears dead.
Yes.
But what it's actually her killed trunk double.
Yes.
And then you see her on the side who's alive kind of watching the scene like she's in the crowd.
Oh, and she has the locket bet. She took the locket off the version of her that she killed.
Yeah. A taxi driver approaches. He's a pretty weird little dude.
See, this is the odd Jess. I don't think a Jess dies on the boat. I think this is the only Jess that dies, is the one.
I'm going into this as Barry notes of all this stuff. I'd have to watch it again to fully support it. But whatever. So she's there. The cab driver approaches and like offers her a ride. He's like unaffected by all the death in the situation. He's definitely a weird guy.
And she's just kind of standing off to this. It looks like she's a bystander.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how she got thrown from this car. Totally. You know, everyone, Tommy's dead and she's just, you know, doesn't even have a scuffed knee, but whatever.
I don't remember the full thing. I remember he asks her, he makes her promise to return. Oh, he's like, I'll wait for you here. You know, he's like, I'll wait.
Oh,
for you.
I'll keep the
taxi running as long as you promise to return. And she says, yeah. And he takes her to the boat. And now you see she's showing up to the boat dazed and without her son, just like in the beginning when you're like, where's your son? And she goes, oh, he's in school. And now you kind of see how this all happened. So now you see that all this stuff is all part of the loop.
Oh, and just for to finish this loop, the band that's playing at the high school right next to the car crash, the high school band is playing Anchors Away.
Oh, yeah. So that's how this ends. The theories online, and which was my theory also. I mean, obviously there's the Sisyphus comparison, right? Of just like eternity, just like pushing a rock up a hill, having it fall down you again over and over. And that's kind of like her repeating this time loop. But another theory is that she's in her own personal hell, which would explain a lot. Like that cab driver is either the devil or like, what's his name? The guy that like the river sticks in like a vessel.
Yeah.
He has her make a promise. She's going to return. And you could argue that she doesn't return and she breaks that promise. So she's like Sisyphus trying to be forced to like push this boulder up a hill.
Oh.
Her soul. Yeah. Like the ferry, like the taxi is like, you know, the ferry to cross to the land of the dead. The other idea is that this whole movie takes place that theoretically and say, and you'll like this, Desmond, because you like linear, that she got in the car accident the first time. And this whole thing is her refusing to die and go into hell. And so she's forced to just go in this loop until she accepts it and moves on.
Oh,
it might be why the watch and the clock are stopped. Like that might be the time of death.
Yeah.
Like it might've been 8:20 in the morning and that's why all the time stopped. And this is just going on in whatever world. But that's kind of how I take it. I mean, obviously the Sisyphus and Aeolus stuff is, you know, it said like Sisyphus cheated death and that was the cause for this. And whether or not she kind of did or not, or whether her refusing to accept death. And the taxi driver is death himself. Yeah. Or like, what's the character that operates the River Styx on the ferry?
Yeah, I can't.
So it's like Jacob's Ladder meets The Shining meets boat movies.
And there is a cabin 237 in this movie. One of the cabins that the cabin that says go to the theater in blood.
Yeah.
That's cabin 237.
What's the reference of 237?
The Shining, room 237.
Oh. Yes, it felt like The Shining when they get on this big empty boat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like The Shining. It's like Jacob's Ladder.
I need to see Jacob's Ladder again.
Yeah, me too.
So,
but yeah, what do you think about that as a theory for the film? It's one of those two or three ideas.
I have a different question that I need to figure out. So, yeah, I know you're reading Barry. I need to read more into this because the even Jesses make it out. So that would make sense because
I don't think they make it out. They just make it to the next round.
Right.
And then they probably become, yeah.
Because that way, this Jess now is probably going to die. Like there isn't a Jess that's been doing this
right
over and over.
Oh.
Because otherwise she would remember more when she got on that boat. If she's only, so basically each Jess only does it twice.
Right. I mean, I view this, it reminds me of Time Crimes. I almost view this like, I think of like the Chicago public transit system. There's the loop in the middle of Chicago and then it goes on outside the loop. But in this movie, there's a loop, it's going on, but then that's all part of a bigger loop. You know what I mean? It's like in Time Crimes, they made it to the end and Ari was kind of like, but now they're out of it. It's like, well, no, because that's still going to feed in. It's like there's a loop within a loop.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Well, you know, talking about this makes me respect it more. I think we thought this was a good episode to explain it to Ari, but it's pretty to not know the movie and hear us talking about it is probably still like, all right, you lost me at Jess 2. It's one you should see. But, you know, talking about this makes you realize that it's worth it.
Each time a new boat arrives, Jess develops to the next Jess. Cycle 1, naive Jess, necklace, woolen jacket. Cycle 2, learning Jess. Eventually, no necklace, no woolen jacket. Cycle 3, evil Jess, overalls and mask.
Oh. And, you know, I think this idea of her being in hell also with seeing how she was with her son is kind of supported. It's really interesting to, like, eliminate what she did wrong in the beginning. Like, she doesn't even see that. She just, like, makes her look like a sweet angel. And then when you fill in those blanks, it's like, oh, no, she's kind of a horrible person.
But, yeah, because she says something in the movie. She says, my world is on shore waiting for me to pick him up.
Right. She has this like delusion or like you think she's better.
And she's doing it as always. She's doing this for one person that she loves. She's willing to sacrifice dozens of lives as long as she gets back to the one person she cares about. Okay. At 8:17, so 8:20, I was off by 3 minutes. Jesse killed her son.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm right. That's where time stopped. That's where she theoretically died and either is refusing to move forward or that's her own personal hell.
See, I didn't get this. This is the second time I've read this, that the original events is that she killed her son.
In the car crash?
No.
Oh, they're just saying outside of this, she killed her son and the entire thing is hell?
Killed her son in a fit of rage. Changing out of her bloodstained clothes, she hides his body in a duffel bag and puts him in the trunk. For an alibi, she joins Greg and his friends on the boat. However, the boat sinks.
Oh, and she ends up killing herself in round two?
What? Oh, this guy's taking some huge...
That's, yeah, because then she's being sent to hell before she even died. I don't think that makes sense. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm reading. Yeah, autistic Tommy dies in the accident, which is also killed, which time stops at 8:17. Everything that happens in the future is her personal cycles of hell.
Huh.
The taxi driver says the boy can no longer be saved and offers her to give her a lift. So yeah, he's like, oh yeah, is it Charon? Charon, the mythological creature to transport the souls of the dead to the eternal kingdom. He says he will leave the meter on. He's waiting.
Yeah.
You will return, right? Yes, I promise. Breaking a promise leads the heroine to a situation the same as Sisyphus. From now on, whatever Jess does will be Sisyphean of just repeating the same useless idea.
So this is the one thing where I feel like this movie was pretty goddamn tight, but how does the axe get replaced? How is the axe always back where it belongs? Because it's always hanging on the wall right where it should be.
Oh, I don't remember if that was shown or not. That might have been shown.
Well, they showed her grabbing it twice.
Yeah.
Off the wall. Who put on the record? And this is what caused Jess's memory loss, but I think if she's only doing this twice, I think she continues to be pretty weirded out and never has a chance to be like, okay, I know what to do.
Yeah. It's weird when the protagonist is not great. why is her memory erased? Or is that actually, I guess we can assume when she first shows up at the boat and she's like, I don't know. She's obviously someone who kind of buries her bad deeds, right? Because in the beginning, you see her like she thinks she's a sweetheart and the son just made an act drop stuff and you don't fill in the blanks that she was hitting him or that like the murdering caused him to drop that. So
yeah.
So maybe like it's the brain's coping mechanism. She doesn't want to accept that she's an evil, evil fuck. And so that's why because there's no other explanation of why her memory is gone.
Well, if she I think that if she only does the cycle twice, I think it's possible for her to just be. And it's not even it's not even the same cycle necessarily for her. So I think she's just like, holy shit, is this really happening? She's like, just can't really believe that it's actually happening again. And so she just doesn't really grasp.
So I'm looking at significance, the triangle, like why the name of the film. I assume Bermuda Triangle. It says the ship, alias is ALS is the name, was originally a uniform. The main character in the liner is one in three persons. The actors are threefold. A triangle between success for victim and rescuer. She becomes a killer. Three most perceivable scenes from the film give you an understanding of the meaning of infinity. Mount of medallions, corpses. Oh, there's three scenes that show that. The dead birds, the medallions, the corpses. There's lots of threes, I guess, that I didn't see. I thought it was Bermuda Triangle.
It's got to be just from where they are. Holy shit.
So does that make you like the movie more, kind of gutting it out like that?
It does. This is, I'm really excited to watch this again now that I realize there's an even and an odd version. I fucking love this movie.
Wow. Okay. We lost Ari in some of this. I think in not seeing this and hearing this convoluted explanation, I think it.
Yeah.
She will have to see it.
The fact that it's a loop but two parallel loops, kind of.
But you know what I mean? I see it almost as like there's this one line going into this loop, and this loop goes around, say, like four times, and then it comes out of that. But then that is going to circle around and come back to the loop within a loop. It's like a knot within a big circular rope.
Yeah. Where are you at with the movie now? Are you over it or?
No, I get why it's in the top. This is the last of our top 10. This is Barry, by the way. So congratulations. We've done all top 10. This is Barry.
Yeah.
I see why it's on the list. Again, I respect it. I respect what's going on. I just don't, how do I explain? I don't love it as a film. It's not like, it's well done time travel, but it's not like crazy enjoyable.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. like Back to the Future is very enjoyable. It's maybe not the best time travel film.
Yeah.
For like plot holes. And for me, Interstellar, God, I'm so on Interstellar's jock. It's really enjoyable.
Did you do our Interstellar episode?
Yes.
Okay.
Interstellar has like grown even more over time of how great it is. And I think it's the most realistic time travel film. I also have a lot of love and respect for Tenet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's enjoyable films and then there's like, you know, respect for films and all that. So I don't know if it wouldn't maybe be in my top 10, but one that can kind of confuse us that we need a diagram for that I give a lot of respect. There's only a handful of those.
Well, this is the kind of movie, this is why we do the podcast.
Yeah.
If we just wanted to do good movies and occasionally we did a time travel one, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But if we're going to do a time travel podcast, this is the kind of shit.
Right.
I'm super sad Ari didn't watch it now because I think we really need a third mind in this knot to try to untangle it.
So, and to honor her, you know, we say, what is the method of time travel in this? It's relatively supernatural of like either a personal hell or it's a storm, not much of a scientific basis.
Yeah.
But the most believable without loophole, theoretically, because you can't argue with that.
It's pretty tight.
So, but okay, knowing this, how would you like to think of like, what is the overall context of the film? Do you think it's literal and she's in just like a Bermuda Triangle and that's it? Do you think it's like a devil's sitch? Do you think she's doomed to just repeat this and this is her hell? Do you think she has to move on to death? What do you think? Do you think the accident was something we haven't seen? Do you think it was the car accident?
I think, oh, fuck.
I think it, for me, I think she originally was going to go on the boat. There was the car accident. I mean, it's a loop, so maybe it always happened this way. But this movie's different in that it is a loop, but it's maybe not, it's always gone on this way. It always will, because that doesn't make sense when you have a literal accumulated number of birds and necklaces. It kind of suggests we're in round 40 or 50, which makes it sound it is like linear with a loop, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
We have not encountered that.
Someone else living through their natural timeline could walk by that pile of birds.
Well, although this is potentially just, I still think the time stopped at the time of death. And so she is, if you're going with Sisyphus, this is her hell and she's just doomed to repeat this.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with that. You could say, again, she's waiting to move on. I like that. Too much Sisyphus. So I think she killed her son in the first car accident. She's in this loop as her own personal hell.
Oh, you think he died in the car in a car accident?
I think the son died in the car accident.
Yeah.
But this so started her hell. That's when the watch stopped. I mean, you could theoretically say the first version of her and her son both died in the car accident. And then the her that was watching is already on her way to hell. That makes sense.
Well, because that's where I start to believe. Like I said, I'm trying to figure out if the director said something, because a lot of people are going on this, that she killed her son, put him in the duffel bag, the car crashed, he was the one that rolled out of the duffel bag. Because the one thing that where it's...
Oh, but then I guess the loop has always been that. The boat loop, it has to have always been in a loop, because when she gets there, all those things happen. There was no first round. It has to have gone that way. But that's a big supernatural, you're in a hell loop, so that's fine.
Yeah, and then, you know, because if it's always been this way, then how are we only on number 40?
Actually, you're right. So we found a loophole with it.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been linear. It couldn't have been the first time she went in, nothing happened, because the older version of her has to cause all those things. So it has to have always been happening, which begs to differ. Why would there just be 40? Yeah. It would be infinite, though, but like...
She is a vegetable on life support. She was in a car accident.
Yeah, you could look at that. Or she's just like, when you die, either you could say spiritually there's like an in-between realm.
Because the driver definitely, like, that driver's weird.
Oh, he's deaf. He is deaf, or he is taking her to...
Yeah, because the way he just shows up, nonplussed, I'll keep the meter running for you. What the fuck is that?
You promised to come back. I promise.
So do you think she's stuck in a death loop, or do you think death has stuck her in a life loop?
I think she's in a death loop. I think it's her hell and she's doomed to repeat this. Why the other people are in it? We have no idea. You know, like, what did they do wrong? Or are they just figments of an imagination to make this plot go over and over again? But she has to repeat this life of like being murdered by herself and murdering herself and facing her evil against her son. And yeah.
Yeah, it does. The more we talk about it, this is definitely, there's a guilt about her son. Like she's,
yeah,
she can't let go because she's certain she can save her son on the next loop.
You know, question though, then if you are, you know, I like to do these debates. Movies like Peggy Sue Got Married or what is it? Source Effect? No.
Source Code.
Source Code. Or this. If she is in hell, is it really time travel?
Oh.
No, it's a loop. It's a time loop. It's a loop film. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, Peggy Sue Got Married was a spoiler alert. Close your ears. It was a dream at the end. Did she time? Does it belong in this podcast? We haven't done it yet.
It does.
Okay. And then Source Code. I'm not gonna get it.
Peggy Sue Got Married, but Desmond has to pee.
All right. Desmond's got to pee. Desmond's got to pee. Desmond's really peeing. Urine's trickling down the side of his house. He is peeing freely in the wind. While I'm beatboxing here as a later surprise. Pee, 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 pee. Desmond's not going to know this is happening. It's between me and the listeners until Desmond edits it. And then he's going to hear it. And then it's not a surprise. That's it. That's the extent of my musical genius. Oh, Desmond's back, everybody. Thanks, audience, for joining me on that journey of self-expression.
So just to put a perfect bow on this podcast, if you could be stuck in a hellish time loop, one from which you could never escape, would you?
Oh, wow. Let me think about that. I'm going to go with, nah. I mean, it's fun to really get that day right, but I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, no. If it's a Groundhog Day, maybe, but this is a bad day.
Each Groundhog Day, you can do something different. This is kind of a no free will. You're forced by everything in motion to kind of repeat it.
Got to get to that. Yeah, you got to kill that evil bitch. You got to. Yeah, is she actually going to go? She's not. Oh, she is probably going to go get on the boat with her son for an alibi. Well, no. Do you need an alibi for killing yourself? Like, what happens?
What are you saying?
What's her plan at the end of the movie?
I don't think she has a plan. I think there's like, she's resigned to like...
Is she going to get on the boat with her son with the dead body in the trunk? Is she driving...
She left the son behind. The taxi driver took her.
No, but why? Where was she going when she left the house with the...
I think she was going to the boat.
She was just going to let...
Or you could argue, you don't know, you could argue she was like, I'm going to break the loop. I'm going to take my son. We're not going to go on the boat. I'm breaking the loop. I'm out. And then the bird, then she's like, wait, I'm in the loop. And then the car accident. And then there's like the driver like.
Well, yeah, then everything happens and forces it. But before she sees the pile of dead birds and runs into the semi.
Yeah, you could argue that she was going to take him on the loop, which would have changed the loop theoretically, or that she was just trying to get him out of town. Did she pack stuff in the car, like besides the body? Did she pack like supplies?
I don't think so.
Or she might have just been like, we're getting out of here, not thinking. I don't know. Doesn't matter. She's in hell.
I know I keep saying it, and I'm always a liar, but I'm going to watch this again. This is up there with Primer for me, for really wanting to like.
Oh.
Like, I'm going to really chart out the next time I see it. Just one, just two, you know, all that stuff.
Wow.
I want to figure this one out.
Okay.
And I mean, if she's in a hellish loop, then who cares? But I honestly don't know how I missed it last night watching it, that there's two loops braided together in this.
Yeah, I missed it. I missed it also until I read up about it.
Yeah, because I cannot remember her killing a version of herself. I honestly do.
You don't remember the hacking? The hacking away? She saw herself hacking herself?
I don't. Oh, do we never actually see it happen? We just see her?
We did see it. I mean, you see from a distance her hacking away at herself.
So the Jess we saw never did it. The Jess that we followed.
She must have at some point. I'm.
Well, she would have on her next time. Yeah, she had to have been. If one Jess was killing another Jess, then that's right. Because there's the fight with the shotgun.
Wow. Hey, Des, so we've been going by This Is Barry again a lot. It comes up because he has such a comprehensive list. I came across a page that's like how he ranks his films.
Oh.
Batter score. There's like the mechanic score. How does time travel take place? The repercussion score. Why does the time travel place? And what are the consequences? A base coherent score. How are the ripple effects and paradoxes handled? The coherence score, you know, where it gets complex and wow, coherence is base coherence times repercussion by, oh my God, it's like a mathematical equation. I'm really impressed. The watchability score.
But here's what he doesn't mention, the anime multiplier.
Right. Yeah.
Barry's got an anime, a behind the scenes anime multiplier.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
All right, any last thoughts?
Hey, be nice to your kids, folks. Take a moment, count to five, don't hit them, and don't hack a version of yourself up in front of them because it can be really traumatic.
That's good advice.
That's one to grow on.
Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
I'm Scott Lifton, and speaking for...
Go for it.
No, you do it. I want to hear yours.
And I'm Ariel Galaw.
This has been Time Pop.
We miss you, Ari. Come back to us. You make this make sense.
Because you don't want to end up in a hell where you're repeating killing yourself.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
But this one is dedicated to her honor. And I am going to personally donate $5 to the Ari Galaw Fund. Oh, man. Did we, is there anything in the letterbox today?
There is. We have a short one.
Oh, great.
Someone just wanted to, where the hell did it go? Where's my email? Seriously.
Dear Ari, Desmond, Scott, you are the best. Why don't you do Back to the Future over and over again and be caught in a loop of reviewing that film for the rest of eternity?
I'm in. Let's do it. This letter comes to us from Matt. And Matt, we might just run into Matt sometime. Matt is from the Bay Area. We don't know where.
Oh, the Bay.
But he mentioned that he's a local boy, so I think we can trust him.
Yeah.
Hello, Ari, Des, and Scott. Oh, look, Ari got... She's not even here, and she gets first billing. Hello, Ari, Des, and Scott. Love the show and hearing your theories about time travel. We want to hear your theories about time travel, Matt. I just watched Beyond the Infinite 2 minutes, and it is a really interesting Japanese time travel movie. I will keep this short as to not spoil anything, but I think you would really enjoy it, and I would love to hear your take on it. Keep up the good work. Past, present, and future.
Ooh.
Thank you, Matt from the Bay Area. See you around.
That's one of my favorite endings to a letter of all time.
That's very, very time travel.
Past, present, and future.
Beyond the Infinite 2 minutes. What do you know about this movie, Scott?
Someone just told this to me. I was talking about this podcast, and I know he mentioned the film. I think he said something like it was, it's shot in real time, I think. And it's something where they can, is it a TV that shows?
Oh, this is the TV one. Yes.
It shows like a day in advance or a few hours in advance. Something so simple that messes everything up.
I think it's like minutes. Maybe it's 2 minutes based on the... That would make sense. Oh, Scott, this is the best time travel movie ever. Do you know why?
Oh, I just saw why you're saying that.
Because this movie doesn't go beyond the infinite of 70 minutes. This movie is 1 hour and 10 minutes long.
Oh my God. It's a sitcom episode.
A cafe owner discovers that the TV in his cafe suddenly shows images from the future, but only 2 minutes into the future. Ah, there we go. See, that makes sense.
Hour and 10 minutes. Is that even too little for you? I mean, or do you just like it? I mean, you're a 90-minute specialist. You're an hour and 30 is like you're golden.
Maybe I'll watch this movie twice before we review it. Have you heard the Pete Davidson SNL song about short movies?
No.
Oh my God, do yourself a favor and find it. It's so my song. It's basically just a song about how all movies should be 90 minutes long.
By the way, I like how you and I were like, wait, so I think you look something in the future. Is it a day? And it's like the film is called Beyond the Infinite 2 minutes. Way to go, guy.
I know. Hey, you know what? We'll jump in our time machine. We'll go back and do it again.
All right. This sounds like a nice selection.
The movie was shot over the course of 7 days. So it's filmed, you said it's like, it's filmed as if it's one shot. Did you say that or did I read that?
I thought I had heard that.
So that's a good reason to keep. It's not actually one shot, people, but it's edited in a way to make it. So that's going to make it probably a really fast 70 minutes on top of that. Just watching somebody. Okay. Sorry. Getting off topic. Our next show is going to be Beyond the Infinite 2 minutes, 70 minutes. I'm not going to do any of the directors, writers, and stars as to that is my gift to Japanese society in not butchering your names.
All right, let's do it.
We will see you. Oh, yes, we can't. You know what? I am going to start hyping it just a little bit. We are going to do Back to the Future 3. It's a little ways away. I know it's a little early.
Not that far away.
But this fall is going to fly by, and we are going to release it on Back to the Future Day.
Yes, October 21st.
Friday, October 21st. You can look forward to Back to the Future 3, where we finish the grand trilogy, the Golden Triangle, and hopefully we'll get together. Actually, we will figure out how to get together and watch this together.
Yeah.
And when we do, we will play a game of, we will play the Back to the Future board game that you got me for my birthday last year, too.
Nice.
Yes.
We also got Time Stories, but yeah. It's interesting that they celebrate this holiday. They celebrate this, when they go to the future in the second one, that's the day, not the day that Marty goes back in the first one. It's interesting that that's Back to the Future Day.
Yeah, because I always grew up with November 5th, 1955.
You know, but that's the day. And, you know, if there was a holiday we were to celebrate, I mean, that's the most important one.
I saw Back to the Future 2 on October 21st, 2015 in downtown San Francisco, and it was like a fucking rock concert. It was the most welcome I've ever felt in a space ever. Just a packed movie theater. Well, that wasn't even really a movie theater. It was more of a theater. And I went by myself, too. So I managed to get really fucking good seats because I kind of found out about it late. And so, of course, there was just one random seat in like the third row. I feel like they did a commentary on it, but I can't remember who the hell was there talking about it. Oh, that was a good time.
Wow, it's a thing. I mean, look it up. Back to the Future Day. I'm going to find out where the celebrations are happening this year.
Fuck, right here, baby.
Yeah.
We're celebrating. We're going to do it.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen Back to the Future 3 in a while, and we're going to have a very skeptical Ari Gala who does not like Western.
She's going to love it.
Yeah. Eric Clayton.
All right. That'll do it for the show. Now I need to talk to Scott.